From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Both presidential campaigns are quietly assembling advisors who will form the foundation of a new White House. We're talking about men and women of what's called the transition team, people who make sure that in the weeks between Election Day and Inauguration Day, the new president has the tools and people he needs. Of course, neither side wants to seem overly confident before victory is clinched, but we've got two people here to explain the how and who of the presidential transition team. P.J. Crowley is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, and Robert Trainum is the D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Cable Network, CN8. Thank you both for joining us.
Hi, Farai.
A pleasure.
So, okay, both of you have worked in transition teams, P.J. with the Clinton administration, and Robert, you worked with George W. Bush's team in 2000. I'm going to start with you, P.J. Where do you think each campaign is in terms of preparing the team, but also revealing who's on it publicly, since we're just weeks away from Election Day?
Well, I think, first of all, both campaigns have literally hundreds of advisors across the various policy dimensions. And a cadre of those advisors could easily be the core of transition teams on both sides. I think we're kind of in a middle ground here. I understand that the campaigns, on the one hand, don't want to feel presumptuous. They can be accused of measuring the drapes for the White House, but by the same token, we have to understand that we're in a very dynamic new world here in the 21st century, and world events don't wait for the president to be inaugurated, get settled, assemble his team. So I think we should be getting to the point as a country where transition planning should become more a part of a campaign, and I don't think that either side should be reticent about saying that we are forming the cadre of people to be able to quickly transition from campaign mode to transition mode to governing mode, because when you look at the challenges that we face, the economy on the one hand, Iraq and Afghanistan on the other, of the various issues that have been debated as part of this campaign, there really will be a great sense of urgency for the new president to get off to a very rapid and decisive start. And that really starts with taking advantage of the time that's available between now and January 20th.
All right, Robert, I'm going to go to you in 1 second. But, PJ, you are working with John Podesta, and he worked in the Clinton campaign as well, now heads up the Center for American Progress, which is where you are. Do you expect that he will take a leadership position in an administration if Senator Obama is elected? And what's the purpose? Maybe you start with what's the purpose of your center?
Well, the Center for American Progress is a think tank. We've been in business for about 5 years. So we advance what we term as a progressive agenda across national security policy, economic policy, domestic policy, energy, and the environment. There has been some reporting that Mr. Podesta could be one of the transition leaders in an Obama administration. But I do think that the Center for American Progress, just like other think tanks in Washington, the Heritage Foundation, for example, on the right-hand side, think tanks have been part of this transition planning. Most of the organizations in Washington have done, some programs or produce some planning or documents that are outlining for whichever side wins the election. These are the challenges that you're going to have to face. This will be the kind of characteristic you might want, for example, in a new Secretary of Homeland Security, since that is, Homeland Security and the Director of National Intelligence, for example. These are two agencies going through their first ever full presidential transition, and so there is a lot of thought going on. Also,
let me
within
get
the
Robert
Bush administration,
in
to its credit, to the Bush administration has done a lot of thinking about transition planning, itself.
All right, Robert. Heritage Foundation came up. Heritage Foundation has played a large role in the past in certain transitions. But is there any think tank now that is really in the driver's seat in terms of a McCain transition team coming together? Is there, because many people have asked, what is Senator McCain's base of support? Is there any one group that you see a lot of folks coming into a transition team from?
Well, I wouldn't say there's one specific group per se. You mentioned Heritage Foundation, which has always been the bedrock for conservatisms. Even when conservatives were not in control of the White House, that's where a lot of conservatives went to wait to see if, in fact, there would be another Republican administration. But another think tank that has always been a breeding ground for conservative or free-thinking thought, especially as it relates to foreign policy, is the Cato Institute, which, as you may know, Farai, and PJ may know this as well, that's where Vice President Cheney was prior to him becoming vice president. That's where his wife still is. And so that's where a lot of the arch conservatives, or rather the hawks, come out of, just in terms of more of the conservative thought when it comes to transitioning to the White House. But to get to back to another point, Farai, just very, very quickly, because I know we're short on time. You know, the administrations come and go, but the bureaucracy always stays the same to a certain degree. We have 8 million bureaucrats that literally run the federal government on a day-to-day basis. And what we've seen with cabinet secretaries coming and going and with some vacancies, that the bureaucracy can run itself at least in the short term. So in both administrations, whether it be the Obama administration or the McCain administration, know that. So they have a little bit of time, but literally and figuratively, the planning has been going on now, probably right before the conventions.
When you take a look, there was something that the McCain campaign said that that Senator Obama was, quote, measuring the drapes in the Oval Office. Robert, do you think that there is a sense that the Obama campaign has gone too far in sort of laying out, okay, well, you know, we're ready to take the reins and here are some of the people whose names were floating? The McCain campaign has been more reticent, for good or bad?
That's the thinking. I mean, that's the thinking among some reporters in the chattering class off the record, is that, you know, we saw this a couple of months ago with the unveiling of the quote-unquote presidential seal, which the Obama campaign very quickly took down because that in itself looked very presidential. There was some chattering class among reporters, even among some McCain folks, about Obama's campaign plane, which had some remnants of Air Force One just in terms of its size, as well as how the paint scheme looked. And so the McCain campaign very quickly said, you know, this is why we should not have an Obama presidency. One of the main reasons why is because they are literally measuring the drapes. And the McCain campaign has been very, very cognizant of being very humble and saying, look, if we're fortunate enough to serve in the White House, and if, in fact, we do serve in the White House, the way they use their words is much, much different from the Obama candidacy, which says when I'm president or when we get to the White House. So there's a very different rhetorical stance there, but also from a symbolic stance, which one can make the argument works in both campaigns' favor.
PJ, I want to get through a couple more topics quickly. One of them is bipartisanship. When you're talking about not a transition team, but the team that the transition team puts in place, i.e. the first team of the new presidency, is there room for bipartisanship after such a tough campaign?
Well, I certainly hope so. You know, neither side has a monopoly on good ideas, although perhaps one side tries to suggest that, particularly when it comes to national security policy. I think bipartisanship will be very, very important. It will be very difficult in this kind of political climate. But back to a point that Robert was making, I think that it's you know, I mean, 77 days is not a lot of time. So the fact is that now
you mean the time between
November 4 and January 20. So I think at this point in time, I certainly hope that both the McCain campaigns and the Obama campaigns, they are setting up their core of transition leaders. They are vetting those names with the FBI. So very rapidly, almost literally, beginning on November 5, you can start to have some interaction between, you know, the winning camp, the Bush administration. I mean, in 2000, for example, I was in the White House as the Bush team was coming in. It was a very, very difficult environment, first because it was a very compressed transition period. But clearly there was a kind of a failure to communicate, if you will, perhaps, you know, clashing ideologies, and you know, that had an impact. So I certainly hope that the winning side will listen attentively to what the Bush administration wants to tell it. That's not to say that it will dictate, you know, policies going forward, but then starting on January 20, you want to have your cabinet secretaries confirmed in place, and then very rapidly after that start to fill out the essential cadre of civilian leaders who will, as Robert said, begin to guide that bureaucracy, whether it's at the Pentagon, for example, at Homeland Security, at HHS. And so I think we have to get to a situation where this becomes more part of the campaign and is not seen as being presumptuous.
All right, Robert. To you for one final question. We have seen Senator Obama talking quite a bit with the former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker. Some people are saying that there should be a holdover of Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson because we're in such a, you know, a period of flux. Why switch horses in midstream? Do you think that's a possibility? Does he want it? Does either campaign want it?
I think Secretary Paulson would be open to the idea, given the magnitude of the situation that we're in. You know, that's really up to that's the president's or the president-elect's pleasure. You know, that's really up to him. You know, let's put it this way. If Senator Obama was to be elected president, I think intellectually he would probably listen to Secretary Paulson, albeit whether it be in an advisory role or a voluntary role, or perhaps maybe even on as Secretary of the Treasury for, you know, a short period of time. But the president has the right, or the president-elect has the right to pick his or her own people. If it's Senator McCain, I would suspect that he probably would very quickly get rid of all of President Bush's advisors, given the fact that he's been labeled of voting with President Bush 90% of the time. So I think perceptionally, President McCain would very, very quickly get rid of Bush's staffers.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Farai, thank you very much.
We were speaking with Robert Trainum, the D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Cable Network CNA, and P.J. Crowley, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress.